Matt Stringer is the chief executive of RNIB, and he joins us each week to discuss some of the stories coming from the charity and a lot of collaborative work and some political work to talk about today. Matt, thank you for joining us.
Hello, Alan. My pleasure.
We're going to be talking about transport and we're going to be talking about voting as well. So where would you like to kick things off?
One of the things that's been going through, which sounds rather dry, but it's the bus services number two bill has been going through the House of Lords at the moment. And we've had Lord Holmes, who's obviously a visually impaired Lord, who's a great supporter of the RNIB, putting forward amendments to the bill, which basically, as listeners would know, tries to address the challenge of floating bus stops and a sort of bypass to bus stops, which are obviously a very, very challenging environment for many blind and partially sighted people getting off a bus and having to navigate a cycleway to get to main sort of pavement. As ever, lots of amendments to bills, and it's not as if you raise an amendment and it automatically gets accepted and absorbed. So at the moment, those amendments haven't been accepted into the bill, but you know, the fact that we've been on the front foot, Lord Holmes has proposed these amendments, has got him ministerial meeting, and we're working alongside other peers in the sector and the NFB, to their credit, incredibly vociferous and influential on this topic for some time. We're trying to work alongside the cycle lobby and others who are very positive about cycling, but when push comes to shove, at the moment the current proposals really don't work for blind and partially sighted people. There's more of them being implemented, and there's more evidence of the dangers and accidents for blind and partially sighted people trying to navigate their way off a floating bus stop, you know, back to the pavement. So we need to keep pushing, and it's just a sign of the importance of having parliamentarians who are very aligned and supportive of the causes of the RNIB.
Absolutely. We talk a lot about buses or the trains themselves, you know, making them more accessible, talking announcements, etc. But it's interesting we hear about accessibility when it comes to train stations or floating bus stops. You know, someone who uses a cane and a guide dog, sometimes if I come across, there's nothing worse. You have the cycle in between you and the bus stop when you're on the pavement, or coming off the bus, you've got the cycle in as well. And you sometimes even have bus stops on islands in the middle of the road. So hopefully, you know, this will make a change, perhaps stop these going any further and perhaps even reverse ones already in place.
That's right. And I think, you know, it's all part of what has been a lot of aspiration by the new Westminster government to try and make travel and transport more accessible. Got the National Rail Bill going through, which we're trying to inform, and we're working alongside people like Network Rail when it comes to doing things like training staff and across the railway network, and we're working with Motability to do work and do research on what really matters for blind and partially sighted people and disabled people when it comes to trying to make the transport network as accessible as possible. I think we've traditionally spoken a lot about the railways and about, you know, the challenges of having tactile edges on platforms or railway stations and the accessibility of the infrastructure. I think the bus network's coming more sharply into focus with this bill. A lot of aspiration by a lot of Labour mayors up and down the country to really make bus journeys cheap and accessible. Andy Burnham in Manchester with the B Network is just one example. Yeah, and we've been doing work across the devolved nations actually on trying to make bus stations more accessible. There's a lot of work we've done in Belfast. We've been working with a local team in Northern Ireland and local volunteers and the local transport provider to make Belfast bus station as accessible as possible. That opened a couple of months ago, I think just before Christmas. Done the same at Wolverhampton in England. There's some work we've done in Cardiff as well. So, yeah, whilst these can seem sort of isolated city initiatives, they have a relevance and attraction, particularly the devolved nations, actually, but even Wolverhampton is something we can learn from and then engage the networks, the bus networks and the providers to roll out relatively simple improvements around the physical architecture, the accessibility of communications and signage, you know, all of which enhances bus travel when the nation is keen to get behind its bus network. So it's good that Lord Holmes has been pushing this point on floating bus stops, but it's only one prong of quite a lot of activity we've got at the moment on the bus network.
Well, let's stay with politics then, and I suppose staying with collaboration and champions too. Now, we talk a lot about accessible voting and making that process more accessible for blind and partially sighted people, and RNIB produces its turned out report, but you've got more to talk about on that too.
We talked a few weeks ago about Julie, who's an MP who we've been working with, who are fortunate in the ballot to be able to present one of the 10-minute bills, and she presented on making voting accessible using a lot of the evidence that we produced in our various turned out reports to make the point that blind and partially sighted people can't vote independently and in secret. And we talked about that a couple of weeks back when she had the opportunity to talk to her 10-minute bill, which is due to come back, we would hope, at the end of March, there's no guarantee. But actually, she got a question in a packed House of Commons just this week and talking to the Education and Equalities Minister, I think Bridget Phillipson, about the fact that there is no equality when it comes to the voting process. And she was there standing up in front of hundreds of MPs, and it was actually a packed house at that point, talking to this point and getting a promise from the Equalities Minister to take this issue seriously and come back to her with a verbal agreement in Hansard that this was an important point. So I think, yeah, we say that because that's just sort of routine parliamentary business, but I think it makes the point that the work we put in to generate supportive MPs who understand our concerns with links to sight loss through family members, for example, and they're able to stand up and use parliamentary processes to support our cause and get things done on a devolved national radar. So it's been great that we're able to sort of chart Julie Min's almost routine sallies forth to help us on the issue of accessible voting. So, you know, it's great that we've got Julie on side, and it's great she was able to ask that question.
Good also to show that, you know, building those relationships, those champions within the political arena for RNIB is invaluable. You know, it's not just talking to people at conferences, it's not just getting in touch and asking questions like that, but, you know, some MPs and councillors and so on, you know, really get out there on the streets with RNIB as well to get a better understanding of those day-to-day challenges.
A lot of the work is done tirelessly at a regional level, a local level, where an organisation like ours that has a sort of national footprint, national presence, is able to engage regionally with local MPs to talk to issues in their constituency, often around the physical environment, urban architecture, street clutter, signage, issues we've just been talking about, local transport networks, bus routes, et cetera, et cetera. And one of the things we've done a good job of over a few years, actually, is being able to build those links with local representatives, local MPs particularly. And just this week, we've had two MPs out there having guided walks with the RNIB through their constituency to learn at first hand about some of those things you've just talked about. So we've had Doncaster East and Axum, I think, is the constituency lead pitcher, who we took out about a week ago for a constituency walk, sharing some of the challenges and issues around that. And then more recently, we've taken in the northwest of England, Lizzie Collins MP, who's the MP for Morecambe. There's a great photo of her next to the statue of Eric Morecambe on the seafront of Morecambe. But again, going out with our team, looking at some of these issues. Great they give us the time. So a big thank you to Lee and Lizzie. But it's great we can use the opportunity in their own environment to make some of these points. And then when they get to Westminster and they're sitting in on a, you know, debate about the bus bill or about accessible voting, you know, they're much more informed and able to contribute and hopefully support our work. So this regional work is really important. And as you know, in Scotland, we've done some great work locally on things like pavement parking in Edinburgh, working with, well, across all of Scotland, initially working with local representatives in Edinburgh. We've done a lot with the Welsh NHS around accessible bilingual communication. So working with local representatives in the regions gets local traction. And whether you're in an English region or a devolved nation, it can often lead to major national change happening in Westminster.
If you'd like to find out more about RNIB and its work, do have a look at the website. It's rnib.org.uk. The helpful team are there on the helpline on 0303 123 9999. And if you have an Amazon Echo device, you can ask Lady A to contact RNIB helpline as well. We'll catch up with you again next week, Matt. The time has run out, but thank you for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
No, my pleasure, Alan, and good to talk to those things. They're meaningful, weighty, not easy topics, but I think give the listeners a sense of the RNIB dogged work in building those relationships and able to see those through to positive parliamentary representation and contribution. So thank you.